Adam, my husband, getting coffee right now. Adam loves mail. He's so excited when he hears the metal of the door close on our mailbox and slap against the front of the house every time the mail carrier comes. Adam's excitement parallels that of a child when the mail comes. You know, when you're a kid and getting mail meant that you got a birthday card invitation, or that your grandmother or someone who loved you dearly sent you a card for Valentine's Day or Halloween or St. Patrick's Day. Somehow Adam holds on to that excitement, even though the main things we get in the mail are political advertisements, bills, and coupons. But this time of year, I get equally as excited about the mail because it's Christmas card season. And there's nothing better than going through our basket of Christmas cards on the couch, reading sweet messages from friends, checking out how much their kids have grown from the pictures they sent last year to this year. Christmas cards, they make mail fun again. So to save the dates, so do invitations. And I think I love save the dates so much because they feed into my desire to plan ahead, but it also means something big is coming. First, there's that category of save the date that's like the wedding or party save the date. These are a blast. 6 months or so out, you get something telling you not to book anything else on this special day because something's going to happen that you don't want to miss. People are going to join their lives together, and you get to be present. You get to celebrate alongside them. And there's a great big party. It just doesn't get better than that. The save the date, it builds the excitement. It's almost like a hype man. And then there's that other save the date, the baby save the date. And it's not the formal baby announcement that comes with a picture of the newborn and their name and weight and length and birth date. This is the informal one, the one that comes by way of the internet, normally Facebook or Instagram, the one that announces that the baby is on the way. And I feel like in recent years, these have gotten way more creative, especially during the holiday season. They take on a whole new form. And just in the past few months or so, I've seen some of these from my friends. Mama's Little Pumpkin, coming in April, with each parent holding a cute carved pumpkin and a small one in the middle with the baby's due date carved in it and little booties in front. Or we're excited to say a little turkey's on the way. Baby Rosales due July 2020. Or this isn't just a food baby, picture of extended belly. Baby Jones coming in June, hashtag eating for two. These Facebook pregnancy announcements, these save the dates, they're basically what John the Baptist is doing in our passage today. Because when you're pregnant, there are steps that you have to take to prepare for the child that's on its way. You need to mentally prepare yourself. You need to prepare your body with prenatals and nutrients and hopefully sleep. You need to prepare your home with a nursery, a bed, clothing. One of my sisters had difficult pregnancies, and she always said that God made pregnancy so uncomfortable so that your body would have 9 months of training so that you knew that you could somehow make it through without sleep because you wouldn't have any good sleep for a few years to come. But whether or not the pregnancy is easy or hard, 9 months is a long time. And in that time of waiting, we just may get impatient. But sometimes we need that time to fully prepare for this child that's about to come into our midst. John's announcement, it reminds us that this story, that our story, that the Christmas story is moving into a story of pregnancy and birth. where you have to wait, where you have a due date, but that doesn't mean the baby's for sure coming at that time. Parents need 9 months to prepare. And John knows we need time to prepare too. Because something big is coming. John the Baptist, he felt like a huge deal to the crowd. But he was just the pregnancy announcement. Just the save the date, telling of that real big thing that was coming on the horizon. John's save the date, it reminds us that what is coming is a big enough event that you need to clear your calendar well in advance. It's important enough to have a pre-invitation, because the formal invitation, it's still going to follow. Christ will be born. Christ will call us to follow him. But John the Baptist is calling us to take that first step, to prepare the way for the Lord. And this pre-invitation, it starts off a little funny. Instead of saying save the date, or mark your calendar, or get excited, John says, repent. The kingdom of God is near. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Try hanging that on the fridge. But another translation reads, change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. Now that's an invitation. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. Come be a part of it. Come change your heart. Come change your life. You're invited. You're invited to be part of this, to repent, to change. Because save the dates always require action. We don't just put them on the fridge and forget about it. We have to mark our calendar and buy a gift and make travel plans. We need to prepare. But preparing the way for the Christ child, it's a little different. We still mark our calendars. We still buy gifts. And many of us make travel plans. But there's more. In the midst of readying our homes for parties, preparing special recipes, carving out time for baking Christmas cookies, planning which gifts we're getting for this person or for that person, buying the gifts, wrapping the gifts, amidst all the hustle and bustle, it can be hard to find the time to actually prepare the way for the Christ child. Our parties and our gift giving, they mark the season in a certain way. But in Advent, we prepare the way by intentionally removing the distractions of the season, by making space in our lives, by being intentional, by intentionally setting aside time for worship each Sunday, for reading not only the Christmas story in our scriptures, but our Advent texts as well, by carving out time for Christmas Eve worship, by taking extra time in prayer, or taking additional time to serve those who maybe need a little extra this season. Extra money, extra love, extra help. Prepare the way, says John the Baptist. During this season of waiting, we're reminded that the waiting isn't about inaction, but about discerning the action that actually changes the world. And John gives us the best example of how to do that, by pointing to Jesus, by shining Jesus' light to others, not that we get the credit, but so that Jesus gets the glory. We prepare the way when we reflect the light of Christ, not just when it's convenient, but even when the light seems far away and almost unattainable. A few years ago, I heard a story about this Norwegian town, Rjukan. This town was formed in the early 1900s to house workers for a nearby factory. And the factory, it was powered by a waterfall that generates hydroelectricity in what was at the time, back in the early 1900s, the world's biggest power plant. The man that harnessed the power of the waterfall created all sorts of amazing technologies. He produced saltpetre by oxidizing nitrogen from air and made industrial quantities of hydrogen by water electrolysis. All sorts of things that I don't understand. But he was a big deal. But there was one thing he couldn't quite figure out. He couldn't change the elevation of the sun. You see, Rjukan was nestled in the Norwegian mountains. It lies in this narrow valley with a huge peak to the south. And deep in this east-west valley, it's surrounded by high mountains. The 3,000 people that lived in the town, they lived in shadow for half of the year. During the day, from late September to mid-March, the town, which was just 3 hours or so from Oslo, the capital, it wasn't completely dark, but they certainly weren't getting any direct sunlight. It was constantly in the shade, always in the shadows of the mountains. That is, until 2013, roughly 100 years after this town was formed, when high up on the mountain, opposite the town, about 450 meters above the buildings, they placed three large solar-powered computer-controlled mirrors. And these mirrors steadily tracked the movement of the sun across the sky, and they reflected its rays down into the town square, bathing it in bright sunlight. Rjukan, or at least a small but vital part of the town, that town square, it was no longer stuck where the sun didn't shine. One woman standing in the town square, basking in the light, shared, "It's so warming. I mean, not just physically, but mentally. It's mentally warming." Another resident, an electrical engineer, as he pushed his child along in a buggy in the town square, he was a little more cautious. "It's a funny thing. It's not real sunlight, but very much like it, like a spotlight." These mirrors, they were like spotlights, and they still are. And that's what John reminds us. That we have the power to reflect light. The light that comes into this town, it may not be direct light from the sun, but it's warming, and it brings light. John isn't the promised one. We aren't the Messiah, but like John, we have the power to reflect Christ's light to others. To provide that warmth. We are not the source of light, but we point to the one who is. Prepare the way. Point to Christ. Shine his light. Amen.